This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I am your host, Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm having an existential crisis. Hi, everyone. Sam's mean. Sam's a horrible person. Sam just made me real sad.
I just sat here for 5 minutes and read Jason read Jason jokes, nihilistic dad jokes from an article on McSweeney's.
They're soul crushing. Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, I'll do one.
Damn it.
What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Every bite is a flavorless and hollow lie. Every meal gives me less pleasure with each passing day. So that's a nihilistic dad joke.
Yeah.
I just told those to Jason for about 7 minutes.
That was the calm one.
That's
where you start.
So
that's how you dip your toes into it.
Shout out to McSweeney's and welcome back to MK Ultra 2. And this episode, if we can call it such a thing, is the main reason as to why I found myself perusing nihilistic dad jokes and why they so truthfully identified with my soul, because I'm gonna just be honest, I am sick of MK Ultra.
I honestly thought reading through everything we were doing a different subject.
Yeah, we are. Kind of. It's totally different than last week. The first week, here's the problem with MK Ultra, right? So the way that we decided to do it is that last week, part one, was the real things that the government did.
Yeah, we have hard facts that got disclosed to us.
Yeah, that are soul crushing and terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust gone way down.
Disposed of. Throw that trust in the trash. I don't even use the government's money anymore. And then part two is things that haven't been disclosed and hopefully will never be disclosed, and things that are a little less credible, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I googled this MK and then I was like, oh, the wiki page has like nothing on it. And this is all speculation.
Unfortunately, I'd say that this episode is more emotionally draining for me to prepare than last episode because of all of the insanity that we're about to unfold.
I mean, it's a little insane, but it's not heart-crushing truth.
No. But it is very frustrating lies, in my opinion.
Sam, how do you hang out with me then?
I don't know. So we toyed about the idea of making this a longer series. And I mean, it's MK freaking Ultra. We could do like 17 parts on this and still
Please
have
no.
enough. But we are only going to do this part. And then after this, next week, we are going to go ahead and finish up. Or not next week. I apologize. 2 weeks from now, we're going to go ahead and finish up our series that we were doing with Rob from Our Strange Skies, which was the Ed Walters case, the UFO abduction over Gulf Breeze, Florida. So that'll be really good.
Now, so if you need a recap, you know where to find it. Otherwise, of course, I'll tell you to recap it next week too, yeah. Or a week after next.
Yeah.
Man, time
right?
is weird,
It
man.
Does feel weird. It's strange. And so on that note, I just want to remind everybody, we did go ahead and we published our Patreon bonus episode for January of this year. We did that last week at the time of this recording. It is a episode on the Green Children of Woolpit. So if you find yourself jonesing for more Not Alone, now that we're down to this bi-weekly schedule, going to patreon.com/notalone will allow you to get access not only to the episodes unedited a day or two early, but also to our bonus episodes that we'll be doing at least once a month, guaranteed, without anything that could possibly stop us unless God himself strikes me down. So just something to keep in mind there. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to get started. So with all of that in mind, let's go. Let's get underway. Now, last week, like we said, we talked mainly about things that we know happened. This week, we're going to go through a few different subjects, two primarily, one of which did happen, but we don't know to what extent, and the other one that may not have happened at all, probably, hopefully, didn't happen at all. But here's the problem, and here's why we're doing it this way.
Yeah, tell me.
Because
lay it on me, Sam.
Because I've never been the kind of person, even when I'm talking about something completely and totally wacky and out there, I've never been the kind of person who likes to do an episode on a subject that doesn't have any documentation. And yet that's what's going to happen specifically with one specific case we're looking at here. And yet the reason why I think it's important to include is not because I believe it, but because the government's corrupt actions in destroying the documentation for this project means that I cannot say that it didn't happen with 100% certainty. I can say it with 99.9%, but not 100. And so that's why this is the government's fault, and I am entitled to compensation.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
That some of those documents were destroyed because of them being linked to other top secret programs during that time?
Let's get one thing straight here. It wasn't some of the documents that were destroyed. The documents that survived.
No, I mean,
survived,
of all those 20,000, do you think they were, some of them were destroyed because they're like directly linked or referencing to another program within the government?
No, and here's why. Not to say that they weren't. Not to say that they didn't. But here's why. Because the documents that did survive were ones that were misfiled. They only survived on accident. So it's not as though, and we'll talk about this a little near the end, it's not as though they were like, get rid of some of the more damning stuff. Although I would assume that's what they really kept close hold on. They tried to literally shred every single piece of paper. And thankfully, due to, I think they were like in financial records for some reason when they shouldn't have been. Thankfully, we have this stash of what survived. But no, it was not. They had absolutely no good reason.
Paperwork.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well then. You have any more of that rosé?
I do. Yeah.
We might need it.
And it is. It's like, you know what? If by accident, the nightmare scenario of Dr. Cameron's depatterning of subjects, if that survived somehow because it was small enough to not notice that it was missing, like, what else was there? And that's what we're going to look at.
Okay, Sam. So where do we begin?
Shadowy half-truth. These legacies of deceit. What I'd like to start with is my favorite aspect of MKUltra so far, which is black magic. Now,
we haven't done anything with magic. What do you mean?
Well, I'm about to do things with magic. Because the thing. Woo!
You got
Look,
rabbit
your will
under your
to
hat
live,
there.
It's back. Nah.
Something more powerful than magic for that.
That's fair. What I'm trying to say here is that Ultra marks a very interesting arrival in the middle of a very rational 20th century. It marks a time when the government, having been able to create total and complete secrecy.
Well, I mean, how can you wait a second.
Oh, okay.
What part of the 60s was rational?
I'm just saying that when you think about the good year of our Lord, 1953, you usually don't think about witches. I mean, maybe you do. I don't.
I always think about witches.
All right. Whoa. Hermione. I hate my life so much. All right.
Oh, here we go.
However, they use the secrecy in order to explore some of the more wild and even crazy ways of gaining power over others and controlling people's minds. They took it back, and I mean way back. Because it's really interesting to me how the occult often pops up in the places you least expect it, and so it does with the CIA. With Project MK often. A little bit of a whiplash.
That is so boring.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I only play with the Ouija board MK often.
Yeah, just every so MK
often.
That's
so bad, you know? Like, ew, yeah, gross.
It's bad.
You go from Ultra to often? That's embarrassing.
Terrible. Now, they share that same cryptonym, MK, of course, which is going to... we talked about it last episode. Some people
major
think
major keys.
What?
What does it mean?
Give me Let It Be by the Beatles. Major key of C. So it doesn't mean...
It was a DJ Khaled reference, but all right.
Oh, I don't know what that... Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
Ah.
So other people, though, say it means mind control in German or whatever.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean anything at all. It's just a designation. So this project, MK Often, which was also referred to as MK Chickwit, which I don't know what that even means. I don't know what a chickwit is.
That sounds more black magic, though.
Does it? It sounds to me like a type of chewing gum.
I can see that, too.
Yeah.
Now, why not both?
Often was inaugurated in 1966, and its official use or its official meaning was to test the behavioral and toxicological effects of certain drugs on animals and humans. So
that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's pretty par for the course as far as ultra goes.
It's not too broad.
No.
But broad enough.
Broad enough.
But
however,
I didn't see anything about black magic in that.
Right. You didn't, did you?
No.
It's because you weren't looking hard enough.
Ah.
Yeah.
If I realign the letters.
It spells I am Lord Voldemort.
Whoa. There's a V in there? There is.
Yep. There's also an
we
X.
We cracked the code. It's a silent X.
Yeah. So
you can toss some of the letters. It's fine.
Now, this was its own distinct project. And this is where everything we know about MK often ends. It was its own distinct project started in 1966. Now, what we see, though, for instance, do you remember our good friend, Sidney Gottlieb?
No, I never met the man.
Well, you count yourself lucky because he'd love to have ruined your life.
Too late, I already done that.
the existential dread in this room is so thick you could cut it with a knife. Sidney Gottlieb, who went by the codename or the nickname, as we may remember, the Black Sorcerer, he had different ideas beyond just feeding drugs to dogs. He wanted to find out the unknown. He wanted to search the very depth of the blackness of a human heart and to find within it the powers.
Fool. Doesn't he know that's all-consuming?
Right. Kingdom Hearts 3 literally came out yesterday. That's the entire point of these games, is that the blackness of the human heart, the darkness. God, that game messed me up.
Yeah, what do they call me?
In any case, I like to think of MK often as Sidney Gottlieb gone a-questing. The same way that Arthur went searching for Excalibur and finally the Holy Grail, so too did Sidney Gottlieb quest to find black magic that he could teach to the CIA. You can tell that their motives are a little bit different there, but the motif remains the same.
How did we get from toxicology to black magic, though?
Jason, the government is lying to us, which is something that we can confirm from our last episode.
But all I'm saying is that, like, if you're trying to file something and it's not what it's talking about, then that's very misleading,
now,
and you might look for something
else. Does this go under W for witchcraft, or does it go under M for mind control? Where's this one go, Sid? Now, it's important to note that, like I said, we don't have any hard facts on Ultra, or on Often. But what we do have is a source, a British journalist by the name of Gordon Thomas, who...
Wait, he's not even American?
No.
How does he even know?
Freaking limey.
Where'd that come from?
It's because you had to eat a lot of limes when you were crossing the ocean, otherwise you'd have scurvy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty dang sure. So this journalist, Gordon Thomas, it's he who serves as our primary source for this sort of stuff. He asserts that Gottlieb had been partnering with all sorts of people in order to pursue this research of his. And this involved bringing in practicing psychics, palm readers, astrologists, of which the CIA was supposed to have 3 paid on staff, frequently consulted for divination. They would also partner with Satanists of all stripes, self-proclaimed witches and warlocks, demonologists, Catholic exorcists, and a whole lot more.
Side note, I did just get the Satanic Bible.
Oh.
That'll be fun.
There you go.
That'll be a good read.
Is that going to be part of your special?
I wasn't planning on it.
It could be.
I just thought it would be light reading.
Just some light reading, yes.
Also, you're dead on. A limey is just a term for a British person because
to prevent scurvy.
Navy was forced to drink lime. That being said, though, it didn't actually get like heavily used until the turn of the 20th century.
Hmm.
So like when I would have assumed it would have been used way more frequently, like, I don't know, pirate era.
Why is
I'm
that,
sorry,
Jason?
We got really derailed. Let's,
I don't even care. I'm empty on the inside. Now, what's really interesting, though, is that 1966, for whatever reason, was a very, very big year for the occult and practices of spiritualism in the United States. Again, the same year that Often was officially founded.
Weird.
Yeah, so...
Coincidence? I think not.
Right, because all things are connected. Huzzah.
Okay, Obi-Wan.
Huzzah. Yes. So we see in 1966, for instance, we see the Satanic Church of Anton LaVey, Leviathan,
or hey, Leviathan. Hey, that's literally the
Satanism. Yeah,
the guy that wrote my book.
Yeah. Jason's learning so much, he didn't even have to open the book.
It's going
to
be exciting stuff. Good primer for me.
There was also founded the Church of Scientology. So there's that. There's also this really bizarre, I thought when I was reading this, I thought I had to be misreading it. But what happened is that CBS, the news company,
yeah.
They funded an attempted overthrow of the government of Haiti. Or at least they attempted to fund the attempted overthrow.
Why? So they could broadcast.
That's exactly it. They like literally went to rebels and were like, hey, we'll get you guns and money if you'll give us exclusive rights to streaming the revolution.
All right. So you know when like Ron Anchorman 2 came out?
Yeah.
And it was like a big like spoof on how literally the news is just there to entertain you and it's all about ratings and doesn't matter if it's true or not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead ringer. It's real sad.
Dead ringer. For sure. The other part of it is that we know that the CIA has a real big thing about overthrowing other governments. They love it. They love it.
You're not wrong.
And so a part of me even wonders if like this whole CBS thing wasn't actually tied back to the CIA to begin with. You know, but who knows?
There's a lot of connections in that.
You also have the Zodiac killings, one of the weirder things and creepier things to happen in America. You also have JFK's brain going missing.
Yeah, I had to double check that because I was like,
what did you find about that?
His brain went missing.
Did we find it?
No.
It's gone. This is ridiculous.
It's as missing as Abe Lincoln's body.
Is Abe Lincoln's body missing?
Yeah, dude. He got tomb robbed like almost immediately after his burial.
Those freaking Southerners, man.
It's because he's a vampire.
Well, that's true.
Did you not see the documentary?
Also, in 1966, it was founded or in 1966, the good year of our good Lord, there was founded the OTO, the Ordo Templi Operandis or whatever. I don't know exactly. It's
Templars, huh?
No, it's not Templars. No, it's...
I know how to deal with those.
It's just another occult. One of the bigger like occult organizations in the United States.
Swift hidden blade to the face and we're done.
Whoa. So, thanks, assassin. So, there's a lot of weird occult things going on around this time. And so it would seem almost natural and normal that the CIA would pursue it as a method, a means to an end. And there have been documents that have pointed to the involvement of the CIA in some of these organizations that we've mentioned. I found one that I was so mad that the link was dead because the link, the title of the hyperlink was like the Satanic Church is self-admittedly involved with the CIA. It was part of a bigger article I was reading and I hit it and it didn't go through.
That sounds like one heck of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it didn't go through. It just dead ended right there.
Yeah, and I tried
to.
Why?
Yeah, well, no, seriously, I tried to Google it. I couldn't find anything at all. So we have two possibilities: one, that one person was wrong and strange and crazy, or two, the CIA is taking down all of the information about them being connected to the Church of Satan.
I gotta start reading that Bible,
the Satan. But the other thing that we do know for sure is that the CIA. Oh, and this is delicious. Ooh. This is rich. I didn't even put this in the notes. Oh, wait, maybe I did. Crap. I don't know if you saw this. So the CIA, we do know, was involved in Scientology very closely. They actually paid money to some high-ranking members of Scientology because they thought that they could participate and practice remote viewing and teach CIA agents how to do this. Remote viewing is the process of sitting in one place and projecting your ability of sight somewhere else, like Mars, for instance. Now...
Also, side note, they bought Neopets.
Whom?
The Scientologists.
No.
Yes.
Oh my god,
They bought Neopets like as soon as it was getting off the ground and became like a thing. The Church of Scientology bought it.
I have to log into my Neopets and summarily execute each and every one of them.
Sam, they don't die. They've just been starving all
I know.
This time.
You monsters. That is very disturbing, actually.
It's so
that
weird.
That is really messed up. Anyway, so that's a nice little messed up side note.
So now I want to go back and like try to see, is this kind of a Scientology thing in the background here? What is this?
What is this? Is that L. Ron Hubbard's face on my Neopets? So that's a nice fun side note. My nice fun side note is that the person that they made this contract with, the high-ranking member of Scientology, was a man by the name of Hal Puthoff, or Puthoff, I don't know how to pronounce it. He currently sits on the research team of the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Scientists, and before he was the leader of Robert Bigelow's National Institute of Discovery Science, which of course led the research expedition on Skinwalker Ranch.
Words, huh? They're tough?
They're rough.
You're having an issue
there. They're real rough.
Too much wine?
To me, nah.
So your interesting side note is a little bit different than my interesting side note. Yours actually kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Mine is actually a side note.
Yours is about Neopets, which is valuable information.
No, it's not. It just destroys our childhood.
True. So I would not be surprised if Hal Puthoff not only is a complete wackadoo individual, but also if this means that somehow the government is actually involved or was involved at Skinwalker Ranch, which of course has always been the allegation. That even though the government's not there, that doesn't mean they're not involved. However, there's another interesting aspect of these theories regarding the CIA's activity with the occult, and it's a woman by the name of Sybil Leak. Now, I've seen this spelled two ways. The first one is L-E-A-K, as in, oh no, there's a leak in the ship, we're all going to die. That's the human condition. We're all going to die no matter what, but we're going to
more
die
rapidly
slightly
than we
faster
expected.
Because there's a leak in the ship. Now, if you search for it under that name, nothing. However, if you search L-E-E-K, like the big old green onion, or what Farfetch'd carries around with himself in a very sick, disgusting move for a Pokemon to do, which is to basically acknowledge that he is delicious and should be eaten, which that's a level of awareness that I hope to attain one day. This spelling of leak comes up with a historical figure, somebody that we know without a doubt existed. Her name was, well, I already said it a few times, Sybil Leak, and she also went by the title The Witch from the New Forest. Now, Sybil was an internationally renowned practitioner of witchcraft. She was born in Staffordshire, England in 1917, where she took up the family business. That family business? Witchcraft. She claims that her family had been involved in the occult since 1134 AD, which begs the question of if she had any information regarding the Green Children of Woolpit. It's the same time? Roughly, I do not know. I do not know where Staffordshire in England is, but it is in England, which is also where Woolpit is. And so roughly the same area, and her great-great-great-grandma apparently was a witch. Maybe she cursed these children. Who knows? Listen to our special to know more. Here's a spoiler. She didn't curse those children. Now, according to her, though, her family was more than just pitiful witches. They were druids. This priestly class. These higher-powered beings than the dirty, weak witches.
I did actually listen to an interview of her.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How did that go?
She is way more sensible than you might imagine. And, like, by the way that you're describing her as, like, a druid, it also seems that her, like, description and of like, witches is more of the old, very, very old school sense where witches were a lot like medicine doctors in many different ways and were more closely tied to the spiritualism of nature.
So she's not as wild as I'm making her out to be.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. She seems way more down to earth. That and she also talked very highly of science, which was also quite strange for a witch, in my opinion. Yeah. But it was interesting.
It's a brave new world, man. Gotta do what you gotta do to survive. That's wild to me that you're over here saying that the witch is logical. I never thought we'd get to this point.
I mean, she was a witch, and the interview was like in the 60s, so...
Though she wasn't logical?
As like logical as you could be in the 60s.
That's fair. So Leak, back in... Well, I'm glad for that. I thought she was completely wackadoo because of what I'm about to say.
Oh, I agree. She's also probably completely wackadoo, but she's confident in her wackadoo.
Well, that's good. I like that in a person, especially a witch. Leak sat as the president of the Witchcraft Research Association back in jolly old England, the frickin' limey. But...
I don't think it's a term of endearment.
No, sure it is. She left this Witchcraft Research Association due to a dispute regarding, and here's again why I kind of assume that she was a little bit out there. She left because she disputed with her fellow members of the Witchcraft Society or Witchcraft Research Association regarding whether or not individuals had to be completely nude while practicing the dark arts, which is actually, she argued that they didn't, which is...
Yeah, there are some very very old rituals that required it.
Yeah. But I you know, that's a mark in her favor of rationalism. And then on the other side, she...
I don't know when you're talking about tradition that old.
Well, that's true. But on the other side, she also was politely asked, kind of politely asked to kind of leave because they were all like, hey, listen, we can do witchcraft, but we probably shouldn't curse people. And she said, I wrote a book of curses. I will not abide by this bylaw. And they said, Madam President, you must go. And so she went. And where did she go?
America.
A place where you're free to curse whoever you want and to either perform nude or non-nude in your daily witchcraft rituals. After she left, she didn't necessarily change her image. She was still, again, this witch of the New Forest, but she really did emphasize different parts of her tradition. Primarily, it was the psychic part of things or being a medium. She also practiced astrology. And
the, like, connectivity aspect.
Yeah.
To the world around her.
Yeah. She practiced, she was employed by several very, very well-known, rich, famous people, not the least of which were Nancy and Ronald Reagan, to be their personal astrologer.
Which is weird.
It's very weird because
it's so weird.
It almost has the feel, I know this is not what it was.
Of, like, heresy?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it has the feel of, like, think about The Prince of Egypt. You've seen that movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. We did it.
We found a movie
we've both seen.
We just had to go back to 98.
Yeah. So the Prince of Egypt, right? And you have Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh has his court magician who comes in and they do their stuff. That's kind of the vibe I get from that.
Really?
Yeah. Like, oh, she's the court astrologer, but that's fine.
That seems real rude.
Also kept a familiar, which was a crow by the name of Mr. Hotfoot Jackson. So that really endears me to this individual.
Right?
Or endears this individual to
Yeah,
me.
She was all about the birds.
Yeah.
She was in her, like, interview, she was like, cats are more of, like, Egyptian things. We've always been about the birds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
All right.
Whatever so you it. Say, lady.
Let's go. Now, she
Here's a newt's eye for your time.
She is specifically named by conspiracy theorists, including Gordon Thomas, as being involved in this, as being the main person that they being the CIA, went to.
Well, as you just pointed out, she seems pretty mainstream.
She does. Yeah, she would have been a very rational, logical choice, the same way that when they needed somebody to write their manual on trickery and deception, they chose a very well-known magician of the time.
Right.
And so they were just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense. However, I can personally attest that this is where things can go off the rails. Now, for time constraints, we're not going to let them go off the rails right here, right now. But I can personally attest...
No crazy train?
We're going off the rails anyway on our next subject. Oh. But I can personally attest that if you want to enter a whole world of crazy, it's as easy as Googling Sybil Leak CIA in quotation marks. Make sure you use that phrase because it's almost like a key in its own way. Because if you search just MK Often, you usually get very sparse sanitized articles. But when you put in these specific keywords, especially with quotation marks around each phrase, it just opens up all sorts of crazy, wild stuff. And what you'll see it tie mostly into is that when the CIA was consulting witches, when they were consulting the occult, when they were proven to be consulting Scientology, and when they were theoretically, and maybe proven, if you know, let me know, proven to be consulting Satanists, they were doing it still with this aim, this first aim that had originally been stated 13 years prior. And that was the question of mind control. And within the question of mind control, it's the question of the Manchurian candidate.
Now, on that note, during the interview that I listened to, she did bring up hypnosis quite a few different times, especially with, like, aiding childbirth and pain in general, which might be where that weird connection is being formed.
It could be. Hypnotism is and was very well attested to being practiced in almost every MK Ultra experiment was hypnotism, and then moving forward to Often as well. But what you see is a departure from, like, when you do this Googling and these specific terms and all of that, you see a departure from this surprisingly rational individual who has, you know, her own belief system and all of that, so be it. You see a departure from that and kind of a consult or a consultant rank of, like, oh, well, you know, this and that. And what you see instead are people claiming a lot of very wild things. I read more than one paper about the United States government literally shaking the hand of Satan himself, I found dozens, and that's an understatement, of articles about child abuse made by the government for the specific cause of summoning demons in order to do their bidding around the world. And I'm just gonna tell you.
That seems, so there's a deep end, and it feels like we just got there all
of
a sudden.
You wanna go off that deep end, people? I'm gonna give you the words to Google. Project Monarch. Don't at me. I'm not here to talk about it.
Just
in fact,
do with it as you will.
This is the point of the show. If we want to, a few moments ago, I said, oh no, the boat has sprung a leak. And indeed it has. And this is the point where I'm taking the boat and I am seeing the island that says Illuminati over it. And I am saying, I would rather drown to death in this boat than to go to that island. So we're leaving this behind. Push off from MK often. Push away from witchcraft and come with me instead to the whirlpool titled Manchurian Candidate.
Oh dear.
At the very heart of which is a dark, unknowable place by the name of Super Soldiers. Not Alone is sponsored by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Now, Robinhood has a commitment to making financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy, and that's why when you're using their application, you're going to find a simple and intuitive, clear design. With data that is presented in an easy-to-digest way, the end result is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. And while other brokerages may charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood does not charge commission fees. You can trade your stocks and keep all of your profits. And like I said, it's easy to understand. There are charts, there's market data, and the app is so simplified that you can place a trade in just 4 taps of your smartphone. And if you're not sure what you'd like to invest in, the Robinhood web platform also lets you view stock collections, things like the 100 most popular stocks, or break it down by sectors, things like entertainment and social media, and even curated categories like female CEOs. And in addition to that, they provide analyst ratings of whether to buy, hold, or sell for every stock. You can learn by doing. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track your favorite companies with personalized news feeds, and you can receive custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Now, Robinhood is giving all of our listeners a free stock. Now, these aren't some 2-bit penny stocks. This is stuff like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to either help start your portfolio or to continue to build it. Now, you can sign up at alone.robinhood.com. That's alone, A-L-O-N-E, .robinhood.com. Head on over, get your free stock, and start making your money work for you today. Now, this is probably the worst thing I'll ever talk about on this godforsaken podcast.
Sam, we talked about exorcisms.
Exorcisms, I'm not fine with because I'm scared. Super soldiers, I hate because of a lot of reasons, as we're going to get into.
All right.
This is the part where the paranoia of the conspiracy theorist, rightfully paranoid conspiracy theorist, if I may say, and our purview, our kind of bag of what we do here with the paranormal, this is where these two points intersect on super soldiers. Now, I don't think that it's going to be much of a big surprise to anybody that one of the main reasons we're doing Ultra, as I believe I mentioned last episode, is to allow us to do some subjects that simply can't be done without talking about Ultra first. And Super Soldiers is chief among these. Now, at the time of my research back in the good old days, before I knew exactly where I was going or why I was going there, I wrote this very foolish phrase. Super Soldiers are one of those subjects. And so don't feel too bad about the wide brushstrokes that I'm about to use, because as much as it may pain me and Jason, we will talk more about this at length one day. I'm not sure if that's true anymore.
Thank goodness.
But I'm not gonna say it's not.
Ugh.
We'll leave it up to the people.
All right, whatever. I'll talk about super soldiers. That's easy.
Now, all of the best super soldier research that can be done is usually through YouTube videos, which I refuse to make an integral part of my research time because I use that research time as my time to listen to music. So I'm not going to use YouTube videos. Jason, however, is all about YouTube videos. Jason, this phrase that I just wrote and then spoke, that was like supposed to be a post-hypnotic trigger. Did it work? Did you look up videos of super soldiers?
No.
Damn.
That's like, oh, he doesn't like my method. I'm gonna look up websites.
That's fine.
In collegiate studies.
On super soldiers?
Yes.
Did you find collegiate studies on super soldiers?
Not necessarily super soldiers in particular, but some of the things that are a part of our super soldier that we'll be talking about.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. That'll bring something to the table, at the very least. Now, the best way I can explain super soldiers, especially in relation to MK Ultra and the Manchurian Candidate, is a little bit like Jason Bourne. But
one of the best Jasons out there.
Probably there's number three. Number three, I would say, in my Jason scale. You're number two. Number one?
Momoa?
Jason Voorhees. Oh. I love killing those campers.
Oh, that took a turn I was not expecting. All right.
Get out while you can.
Okay. So two out of your three are known killers.
Yeah, yeah. And the third is an unknown killer. Is that why you gave me that look? Are you trying to tell me something?
No.
Okay. All right. Oh, my God. So... super soldiers are very much like Jason Bourne, actually. When I wrote this, it was facetious. However, I have found myself to be validated and true in a way that makes me think.
And I feel like Jason Bourne is like that mm-hmm. rewriting of a Manchurian Candidate anyway.
It's totally.
110%. Very, very similar. I think it's slightly more accurate of what's really possible compared to some of the things that we have talked about already.
And we're about to talk about.
Yeah, that too.
However, here's the big distinction. Okay, when we're thinking about real life super soldiers, not
Captain
Jason
America?
Bourne, not Cap, not even Cap.
What?
When we're talking about real life super soldiers, instead of imagining one Jason Bourne, I want you to picture six Jason Bourne all put together into one Jason Bourne, one Ultra Bourne, as it were.
It has 12 arms?
12 arms, six Matt Damon heads.
Whoa!
An uncountable number of sharp teeth. It's
well, it's pretty easily countable, right? I mean, what do we have? 32?
I'm not telling.
32, 34?
We
can do the math.
All right, don't do the math.
I won't.
Now, you do have a very, 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 very small amount of documentation. However, it's not really good because it's not sourced at all. It's all just hearsay and saying, oh, well, there was a document. The document said this. And what that specific document says in regards to the Manchurian Candidate is that there was one specific experiment where two women were hypnotized and one was given the command that when she was brought out of hypnosis, she was to shoot the woman sitting across from her. And when she was brought out of hypnosis, she did so, and she shot the woman across from her. Now, thankfully, the gun was purposefully unloaded. This is the idea of the Manchurian Candidate at its core. But the idea behind the super soldiers is even more than that. It's where the terrifying and godless prospect of fighting six Jason Bourne at once comes in. And there is just such a man who believes he is the specimen, the result, that could kick Captain America's ass. This man's name, may God have mercy on us all, is Duncan O'Finian, and he is the perfect killing machine. He was abducted as a child during a sub-project of MKUltra called Project Talent, and he and thousands of other children were involved in this program, which is another unconfirmed but popular saying about MKUltra, is that the terrible things that were being done to adults were being done even worse to children. And look, here we are, right back in Illuminati territory.
So you're telling me that the government kidnapped or took at least thousands of kids?
At least thousands of kids.
And raised them as their own. Yeah, like a mother, but like a mother bird.
Yeah, but like a crappy mother bird.
Yeah.
But yes, the concept is the same.
And then released them into the wild.
Into the wild.
To do harm to others.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the exact point of all of this.
All right. Continue.
All right. Now, Duncan estimates that only about 20 other individuals in the world, all of which, of course, were involved in Project Talent in their youth, still survive to this day. And it's only these individuals who can match his powers and abilities, as he is the ultimate warrior.
Is this the Justice League? What are we doing here?
He is a fifth degree black belt. His training began at a very, very young age, six or so years old, he was given a cranial implant around that time, which would enhance not only his physical abilities, but also his mental and psychic abilities. See, that was the entire point, Jason, of Project Talent. It was a search for talented children. Some might even say extraordinary children who had latent psychic abilities just waiting to be developed. Sound familiar?
Sounds like a blood test.
What?
For midichlorians.
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 Thank you. Not I was thinking more of like the X-Men, but that's fine. I mean, they're not all psychic, but a fair amount of them are psychic.
Of course, 20.
Yeah. Now, he cites the normal sorts of things that psychic people can do.
Mm-hmm.
Abilities like levitation.
That's not psychic. Child's
play.
That's telekinesis.
Child's play.
Okay.
And he used to believe that they chose him because of his bloodline. See, he was half Native American and half Celtic. Two cultures that are just chock full of psychic kids, which is just, why did you have to say that, Duncan? Why? But then he realized that that wasn't the case at all. Thank you, Duncan. Instead, it was because his dad was in the CIA. So here's
where...
That makes
less sense.
It doesn't make less sense because it's literally, sorry for the spoiler alert, Jason Bourne. That's the whole point of Jason Bourne, is like the reason that he is in this program is that his dad was in the program and was like, oh, Jason's he can do it. You've got to, if you take my son, he'll be able to, he could do it. Oh my God. And then what else is it like as well? Andrew DiBasiago as well has this complex of like, oh, my father was in the CIA, or his was, I don't know, the FBI, whoever runs
a Project government
Stargate.
Agency.
Yeah. My father was part of this agency and he knew that I would be good. And so he made me, but you know, when all of these claims came out after Jason Bourne, they're all just ripping off this dad betrayed me motif. Ugh, ridiculous. Now, another thing he was able to identify.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Another thing he was able to do latently and then really develop through his training for Project Talent.
His talent to bullshit?
Well, that's one of them.
Okay.
But the other one is to read minds.
Whoa.
Now, here's the thing. It's not crazy, he promises. No, instead...
Okay. That's him speaking, not you.
As opposed to literally reading someone's mind, what would happen is he would get impressions or images. So, for instance, if someone was...
So he would make guesses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. He does claim an actual, like, difference. So, for instance, he would look at a person, and if they were thirsty, for instance, he would just see a big picture of a Pepsi can. Just...
Really?
Like, obscuring them. And that's how he knew that they really wanted a Pepsi. This means that he has to not only be able to, at any point, receive this image, but also be able to decode it. Something like that's very straightforward. Other human thoughts and emotions may not be. But his first big mission was when he and 11 other kids were flown to Cambodia, where he and they all fought the Khmer Rouge using their minds.
Can you imagine what that flight would be like? Every 5 minutes, are we there yet?
annoying. I don't want to travel with one kid, much less 12 psychic kids. Now, he describes a chopper landing in the jungle. 12 children filing out solemnly. All of them stood in a semicircle. They all held their hands together, and as they raised their arms, they released a burst of psychic power that killed every soldier of the Khmer Rouge within 12 miles. He talks about each...
Why do we have SEAL Team 6 then?
Right?
Like, why don't we just have these guys just...
Can't I just
assassinating
shoot
people?
Osama bin Laden with mind bullets from my bedroom,
yeah,
please?
We don't need drones. We don't need fighter planes. We just need these kids.
Exactly.
Why is our defense budget so high?
For kids.
Whoa.
Do you know how expensive it is to raise a kid? Much less thousands of kids? Come on. You need to be responsible about this.
You're my bad.
So he talks about every one of the kids in the circle or the semicircle having a different job. His, I believe, was the battery. So he was like the power source that they drew from. Another kid was the amplifier. Another kid was the aimer. And that all 12 of them came together to create this very specific wave of psychic power that only affected Cambodians. Because none of the American troops were killed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, or even like their handlers that were there with them, they weren't killed.
Okay.
But speaking of psychic abilities, Duncan also has intimate experience with what's known as remote viewing, which we mentioned like a minute ago. And that was not only a huge part of MK Often, but it also then was a part of a CIA program, or two of them, known as Stargate and Crest, which are very, very, very well documented and totally real. These are the files from which, like, have you ever seen that movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats?
No, I thought it
that's
was a spoof.
That's an amazing film that's actually
Is it a satire?
It's quite true.
Oh, God, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is. And it's under these Stargate and Crest programs that that sort of stuff would happen. And remote viewing was, like, the backbone of this. So, and we'll talk about it one day in detail, but a typical remote viewing had to do with an individual sitting in a chair and then another individual, the handler, having in his hand a sealed envelope with either a picture or just the name of a place written down, and then they'd hand it to the person in the chair. That person would close their eyes and hold it and not open it, and then tell you what was happening at that location. So, and some of them were really weird, like not necessarily crazy. So for instance, one person was told to look into, and again, they didn't know, it was a blind test, was told to look into Vladimir Lenin's tomb. And Lenin, of course, was interred in a very terrifying eternal sleep sort of a thing where you could walk by and see him in his casket for years and years, very well preserved. And that's what he described, was like this altar upon which something lays that individuals walk past and have great reverence for. And so, like, that's what's weird, as we'll talk about one day.
Well, I mean, he also has a city named after him. So
No, for sure. But they didn't know that it was Lenin. That's the whole point, is that they weren't told, like, look at Lenin's tomb. They wrote down Vladimir Lenin's tomb, sealed it, and then handed it to them. And just by holding this piece of paper, the subject was able to give them this reading. So in any case, we will talk more about MK Ultra. No, we won't. We will talk more about psychic viewing and remote viewing another time. But suffice to say, this was a pretty important part of the Super Soldier program. Now, here's where Duncan has a strange streak of humility. As opposed to being a ruthless killing machine who is good at everything that he does, he admits that he's kind of crap at psychic viewing, at remote viewing. He's not very good at it. But he did say that there is something very wrong about Mars. Do not go to Mars.
Sorry, Elon.
Elon. I was going to make that same joke. Now, as
I
he
knew that.
Duncan, it's you this entire time. As he grew, he was transitioned into a project called Phoenix, which had to do with the actual assassination parts of his job.
So wait, we went from Project Talent, which was the search.
Yeah.
And now Phoenix, the rising above with powers.
Powers.
Okay.
Exactly. Cool. Now, it was here that he remembers the most violent and drastic of physical and mental abuse that was used to create a separate personality, which was then embedded within his current one and acts as the assassin itself. So it's very much the inverse of the sleep experiments where Dr. Cameron was like putting people in and out of comas and doing the psychic driving and stuff. It's the opposite of that. Instead of like putting people to sleep for weeks and months, and
it
then,
was just trauma.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of trauma.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And the entire point of it is that there was some sort of a drug that Duncan claims came to America from Germany with Project Paperclip, that once injected in an individual stopped them from being able to black out from pain or fear or sleep deprivation. So whereas a normal person will ultimately always hit a threshold that will cause them to lose consciousness, such a thing was impossible to happen to Duncan. And so he talks about like waterboarding or even just straight up attempted drowning, being held under the water to the point where one would usually pass out because of a lack of oxygen, and yet he was forced to endure that. And what he says is that at those moments where the psyche would usually shut down to protect itself, instead it creates this fracturing. It creates this separate pocket within the existing psychological makeup of a person for this other thing to live. And that is what is activated during a Manchurian Candidate scenario, is this other thing within himself, which is a very interesting psychological concept. I don't think it's true. I don't
think
that
him in general?
No, in like at all. Like, I don't think that that there's an ability. I don't think that there's anything that, like, if you deprived your brain of oxygen long enough, that would still be able to physically possibly keep you from passing out. Like,
no, you're just, that's just, it's not like a switch that your body does. It's literally, you don't have oxygen, things shut down.
Yeah, they shut down. Exactly. Yeah,
it's simple biochemistry.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, the thing about enduring pain and, like, not being able to sleep, that, I mean, honestly, could just be like meth.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. An amphetamine or high doses of adrenaline in this hypothetical scenario where he's telling the truth.
Right. I think it'd be incredibly difficult too to have someone mentally fracture personalities and then be able to mold that second mm-hmm. personality into an assassin.
Oh yeah.
That seems a little extreme as well.
But like, it'd be a great idea for a movie. Once this separate self was created and hidden within himself, the activations of it came early and often after his training, especially when he entered yet another program, a third program. This one called the Ultimate Warrior Program. This is different from American Ninja Warrior. Thank you.
It's the ultimate.
It's the ultimate warrior, whereas a ninja, that's not even close to being the ultimate warrior. That's a ninja.
So let's take a pause for a moment. And I like to do some minor reflection. MK Ultra, MK Often, both of these do not hint to what they are about.
Correct.
We have Project Talent.
Okay.
Project Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
They kind of describe exactly what they're going for and does not have very much like secrecy or allusion to
them.
Are
you claiming that the U.S. government lacks subtlety?
No, I'm claiming this guy is really bad at making stuff up.
It's fair. No, that's fair.
Continue. Is that all you got? That's all I had. At this point in time, yes.
Now, it's during this Ultimate Warrior project that his psychic and physical abilities were melded into one. For instance, in his training to walk through walls and the like, he killed Jason Jitz gave me the look of a man who has seen his demise and is rushing headlong towards it.
Walk through walls, you say?
Walk through walls.
How interesting.
Yeah. He has killed a lot of people during these years, he claims, and he's not very happy about it. His final activation, though, so his penultimate activation was successful. He was activated, and he put three bullets in the heart of a high-ranking intelligence official of the United States. That's what he claims. His final activation, however, took place in a...
No. Read it. Read it, Sam.
His final activation took place in a Mexican family-style restaurant sometime in the late 90s. He was sitting, enjoying his day, doing whatever, when he heard someone laughing. Now, he sees a man, drunk as a skunk, surrounded by a group of pretty intimidating men, trying to get him to calm down. The man is resisting them with ease, with a sort of power and authority that just didn't seem natural. These men were pretty menacing, and this drunk man was quite small. He didn't know exactly why they were having such a hard time getting this person to stay in line, but it didn't matter, because that was the moment when his programming activated, and he felt this other personality start to emerge. However, although he had an alarm bell going off in his head saying, kill him, kill him, kill him, this was the first time...
Wouldn't the other personality take over and he wouldn't know any of this?
Yes, but that's where I'm saying, for the first time, he was able to catch it as it was happening and to actively resist it. Instead of just being triggered, he was able to say, no, I'm not going to kill anymore, I'm just not going to do it. He stood up, he left. Weeks later, he sees the man on the television. This drunk, small man was George Bush Jr. running for president. This was the final time...
You made it.
I did.
Yeah, you said the story.
The rest of it's fine. It's really just the fact that it takes place in a Mexican family style restaurant in the 90s.
And who are these dudes? Why is Bush eating alone?
Oh, that's his Secret Service.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I should have made more clear. Yeah.
Where's his family? I thought it was a family style restaurant. He's just going by himself?
You know, I can't do a good George Bush. Darn. Opportunity wasted.
Anyway, that's probably for the best.
What's something George Bush would say? They've got weapons of mass destruction. Ain't that right, Dick? Yeah, that's right, George. That's my Dick Cheney. That was even worse than my George Bush.
Yikes.
Yeah, you know. That was the final time he was used by the program. After years of training, of punching so hard he could break through concrete blocks, running faster than anyone else on this garbage planet of weak people, and kicking at speeds and strengths incomprehensible to us puny mortals. He simply forgot. His mind was wiped, and he claimed that these memories came back to him after a particularly terrible car crash. And the deactivated cranial implant was discovered when he was put into the MRI in conjunction with this crash, as it caused the MRI to catch on fire and almost ripped his brain out of his skull. This was in about, I want to say it's about 2006. Ever since then, he's been out and about with books and maybe a movie or something, trying to get the word out to start a congressional investigation. Now, what's the worst thing about all of this is that Duncan is not the only person to claim this sort of a thing. And this is where, if we ever talk more in depth about this, we will talk about this specific aspect, which is that there's this weird, almost like pro-wrestling air that surrounds the entire situation, wherein different super soldiers are parts of like different factions and they're supposedly in perpetual conflict with each other. Now, where this deviates from the pro-wrestling is the fact that Duncan was shot 4 times last year. I shouldn't laugh, that's bad. But God. I'm not laughing because it's funny, I'm laughing because of the irony of the situation, which is that Duncan was shot 4 times last year by an individual known as William Twofeather, who is a shaman. Yep. The details are still not clear.
Twofeather isn't hyphenated, huh? Okay.
I don't know if it is or not.
That's fair.
The details are not clear. Twofeather was supposedly, so either he was an MK Ultra Manchurian, like the same thing as Duncan, and was working on behalf of the government, or he was part of these rival gangs of super soldiers.
That's weird.
And they're
man.
All fighting each
I,
other.
You know, I watched, what was it? John Wick a few times, and he didn't take 4 bullets to kill one man.
Wow. And Duncan did not die.
That's what I'm getting at. If he's a super soldier.
It's a mark to his character, to be completely frank. To get shot 4 times and not die, especially because he is like 60 years old or something.
Yeah, he's older now.
He is older. It's not terrible. I mean, it is terrible. Even if this is what you believe, I don't think you should be shooting or getting shot for it. But here's the thing. Remember that blasted...
It just doesn't sound like a super soldier did it, is all I'm saying.
No, it was just a guy. Remember that blasted... terrible godforsaken island that we just sped past, Illuminati Coast. Remember that island?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Doesn't look like anything to
there
me.
It is again on the horizon. Because there's another dimension to all of this, as of course there has to be with MKUltra. Anything associated with MKUltra is going to be associated with the Illuminati.
But
the
why?
Two go hand in hand. But there
why?
Is a specific. Okay, so I want you to take out your binoculars. I really like this we're on a boat metaphor. Take out your binoculars and peer towards that for Forsaken shore. And what you'll see is that the super soldier controversy has other dimensions to it. Alternate dimensions, parallel dimensions, string theory dimensions. What I'm trying to say is that these super soldiers are in some way connected to the devil himself and his servant, Aleister Crowley, who is still alive and well, and of course, the Illuminati. But here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care enough about this to try to understand it. So instead, what we're going to do is end this particular section with a reading from a blog that I used to read all the time.
Oh no, Sam.
When it was 2 in the morning and I was doing my thing as a 18-year-old. 2 in the morning after a long day of partying, and I would lay in my bed and I'd read this blog called Confessions of a Former White Hat, which used to be free to the people, and now you have to have a password to get
What's
into
it. What's a white
it.
Hat?
A white hat, that's a great question. A white hat operative is, in more modern parlance, it is, especially in regards to a hacker, so a white hat hacker is like something you see in a movie or a TV show where they're like, oh, I hack, but for good. So a white hat operative is the same sort of thing, like, oh, I spy, but I spy for good. This was a former white hat, so that implies...
So he's a black hat now?
He's something.
Okay.
Let me read this blog post to you, and then we will swiftly move away from this island that we're getting terribly close to. Azazel, set free by Crowley and Duncan O'Finian. Quote, dastardly turkey heister Duncan O'Bobby Joe made this recent statement on his blog. Quote, Azazel has been set free. It's time to be afraid, very afraid. And who set this general of demons free from his 7-dimensional cell? Aleister Crowley, his son Duncan, and his 4 grandsons, the Bush Boys, in a winter solstice portal ceremony. This is why the United States is experiencing terrible ice storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, and coming earthquakes, tsunamis, and meteor showers. These are the calling cards of Azazel.
Azazel's carbon dioxide?
I had a discussion with Michael the Archangel about this, who was getting his sword ready to fight Azazel and his legions of demons as foretold in Revelations 12:7, and there was war in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. I will be injured for a time, as prophecy mandates, he says. You'll pull through, old buddy, said I. You can have the archangel powers back if you want to fight with us, he said. But I had failed miserably the month I was an archangel, and did not want to do that again. I will fight another way, I said. I will return to the 3D and fight along the Plegarin fleet. Look to the skies, for the war in heaven is coming. This is not Santa Claus up there in fiery lights, but Azazel and Michael in an age-old battle. Unquote. So that's the kind of stuff that we're up against.
What kind of drugs do I need to be on to be this guy?
Not even MK Ultra drugs will get you to this point.
Oh my god. This How do man, I become an archangel?
This person is different.
Michael just called him old buddy.
Old buddy. That's probably my favorite part. There's another...
Like, oh, buddy. Yeah, little mortal you.
He has another post that I wasn't able to find because, like I said, it's all archived now and it's like password protected. So I actually had to go through the Wayback Machine on the internet. Do you know what the Wayback Machine is?
No.
What?
What?
The Wayback Machine is a truly astounding resource that you go to and you type in a URL and it brings up snapshots throughout the years. So I was able to use the Wayback Machine to find a time when the blog was unprotected and I grabbed that off of it. I also used it for like, you can use it for websites that don't exist anymore. It's really quite good, especially for research. He had another one that I remember from my time as an 18-year-old laying in bed at 2 a.m. reading this.
I don't necessarily want to know.
All I remember is he talked about being on another planet and being at war, and his name was literally Gandalf. And he was the inspiration for all of that.
Wow.
The Lord of the Rings. So, again, maybe one day we'll talk about that. Not today. Not today.
Please, no.
Instead, we are going to not only leave that blasted, barren land, but we're going to start leaving this sea of government conspiracy all in all.
The storm. It's clearing. We're almost there.
The light of day.
Thank goodness.
Because the real death knell for MK Ultra began ringing out in 1963, when a man by the name of John Vance, now that's not the Vance of Vance Refrigeration, he instead was a member of the CIA Inspector General's staff, who found out about these experiments and declared them unethical. The program immediately ceased expansion and began to be scaled back until it sort of just fizzled away in the late 60s.
Finally, someone had to do it.
Yeah, really.
Whoa, what are you guys doing?
No.
Are you kidding me? Wait, what'd you get?
This. Anything good?
No. Never mind. Shut it down.
Did you do it? Did you make the slave my controlled slave? Shut it down. That's how that went. When Watergate.
Yes, her name is Betty White. Plot twist. How crazy that'd be.
Well, and of course, that does feed back to like the MK Ultra idea that every celebrity is a government controlled slave and like mind controlled slave. And of course, every politician. There are different clones. The clones are at war. It's a pretty wild time to be alive, guys, if you didn't know. But when Watergate, again, that godforsaken island we're leaving behind, when Watergate broke in 1972, it quickly became clear that all sorts of parts of government were about to be under massive investigation. And so the message was sent out that it would be a quote unquote good idea if the files disappeared, unquote. Some 20,000 documents were disposed of. And like I said, this was not a, oh, let's get rid of that because that doesn't, let's get rid of this, which is sometimes what people say is that like, oh, they must have gotten rid of the really bad stuff, which is my opinion, but it is always possible that like we know the worst of it. That is possible. And with those experiments in Montreal, it wouldn't surprise me if we do know the worst of it. But they wholesale erased and shredded and destroyed everything they had. But due to a mismanagement and a misfiling in financial records, there was a treasure trove that was uncovered years later. Now, Ultra was not investigated with Watergate. However, the light of public inquiry did not take long to get there. In 1974, a man by the name of Seymour Hersh, who was a journalist for the New York Times, began interviewing survivors of the program and publishing information regarding it. In 75, our boy, our very good man, Senator Frank Church, who was like one of the best senators Idaho ever had, he was a Democrat, and there's an entire place out in the mountains called the Frank Church Wilderness that's named after him, and it's awesome. He headed the Church Committee, which was a general investigation into the intelligence agencies of the United States and the ways that they overstepped themselves. Now, this uncovered all sorts of wild plots and plans of the CIA, including the plans to assassinate Fidel Castro, and it also hit upon thousands of documents from Ultra. But the final, like, last moment for Ultra did not happen until 1977. And this is when Senator Edward Kennedy oversaw the congressional hearing specifically for the investigations of MKUltra. Now, he brought in a whole bushel of current and former CIA employees. He trotted them in front of Congress in order to testify, and frustratingly, time and time again, they were told they could not remember what went on. No, we don't know. I remember something about LSD or something.
You know, the 60s, man. Crazy time.
But they also, they really didn't, they would not admit to any sort of the non-consensual experimentation that went on. Even Sidney Gottlieb himself, when trotted in front of Congress, said, you know, it's really just fuzzy. I really just that can't remember.
Sucks.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, so the government found all sorts of information, but it was bad, but it was vague. There were these Freedom of Information Act requests, two of them, that are referenced in Senator Edward Kennedy's like statement after the hearings that really came and brought to light the things that happened. The Montreal experiments, as well as the death of a man named Frank Olson, who we've referenced a few times.
Yes, we have. You have.
Yeah.
Who's Frank Olson?
Frank Olson was a man who worked in Camp Dietrich, Maryland, working as a specialist in biological warfare. He was employed by the military, and he had above him CIA handlers because of his position just working with biological and biochemical weapons, but his position in general. Now, on November 18th of 1953, Olson was invited, well, quote unquote, invited to a work retreat, which was supposed to be a weekend getaway to Deep Creek Lake, Maryland. There they met the man himself, the black sorcerer Sidney Gottlieb, who, after dinner, spiked a bottle of alcohol with a very irresponsibly large amount of LSD. 1 week after this, after suffering a complete and total nervous breakdown, Olson met with his direct supervisor and told him he had developed moral and ethical quandaries in regards to the biowarfare business, and that he was resigning effective immediately to devote his life to something that wasn't so damn inhumane. Now, Olson was persuaded to go to New York to see a CIA physician, a man by the name of Harold Abramson, who was instrumental in the early days of MKUltra because he had agreed to, guess what, that's right, dose all of his patients with LSD and see what happened. Now, it's worth noting here, okay, the LSD in question, and the LSD that has always been in question with Ultra, with all of its experiments, was provided by the Sandoz Chemical Company. This company that it employed Dr. Albert Hoffman, the same company that went into Pont-Saint-Esprit back at the beginning of all of this and said, oh yeah, it's something with ergot, something with the bread, but we can't really figure it out. Too bad. And then they left. And then years later, a man by the name, I want to say it's Frank Alberi or Frank Alberetti, he wrote a book called A Terrible Mistake. He interviewed people who were working for the Sandoz Chemical Company at the time, and they told him that what happened in Pont-Saint-Esprit was not ergot, and it was not a mistake. So that's where you get this idea that Sandoz was directly involved there, and it was pretty much the only company that could, they had the patent for LSD. So they were the only people producing it at the time. Now, it was the night before Olson was supposed to return home that his body went flying out of a window, either from the 10th or 13th story, depending on the source. The apparent cause of death was suicide, which is believable. He had had a very, very very troubling 10 days. Now, before that, he was fine. He didn't have any concerns about his job. He was a family man. He was happy. He comes home from this retreat. His wife notices he's acting weird, acting strange, asks him to get help. They all agree that he needs to get help. And then, unfortunately, the help just doesn't take. And this is what Olsen's family went 12 years believing. However, in 1975, it began to come to light that there was more going on here. Finally, his family was awarded $750,000 by the government for wrongful death, or participating in wrongful death. Yeah.
It's not a bad chunk of change in 75.
No, it's not. And I think that that actually wasn't until, I don't know if it was 75 it was awarded. It may have been after the hearings by Kennedy. But
still.
In 90, yeah, it's still not bad money for the time. However, in 94, Frank Olson's son, Eric, had his father's body exhumed in order to rebury it next to his mother and decided pretty much on the fly to perform a second autopsy. This autopsy revealed a significant amount of damage done to Frank that appeared to have been taken before his fall, including blunt force damage trauma to the head and the chest. It was also uncovered that in a manual of assassination distributed by the CIA to its agents that, quote, the most efficient accident in simple assassination is a fall of 75 feet or more onto a hard surface, unquote. Now in 2017, a docudrama series called Wormwood came out on Netflix. It covers Olsen's death in detail and is a heck of a good show. And in this, the aforementioned Seymour Hersh, this journalist who was talking to people involved in the program before right. It all came to light, he states that the way Olsen died is consistent with a security process revealed to him by an inside source with ways that the CIA would dispose of domestic dissidents. Now, even according in 2013, Eric Olsen again tries to sue the government. So you have like a classic case of double jeopardy, right? You can't sue somebody twice for the same thing.
Right.
Especially whereas he had already gotten a favorable ruling back in the 70s, they just couldn't do it. But what the judge says is that, and of course the reason, sorry, he was suing again was because he was convinced that the government didn't indirectly kill his father, but directly assassinated his father. The judge overseeing the case states that, quote, while the court must limit its analysis to the four corners of the complaint, the skeptical reader may wish to know that the public record supports many of the allegations in the family's suit, far-fetched as they may sound, unquote. So, not only is the government responsible one way or the other for the unfortunate accident of Frank Olsen's death, they are most likely directly responsible for murdering the man and throwing him out a window. But, and I know this sounds terrible to say, but seeing everything we've seen with the people who came close to Project Ultra, that's not the worst way for it to end up. Again, there are still people to this day who are out of it, who are not really alive in the traditional sense because of what happened to them with Ultra. Now, Ultra itself has been officially desanctioned for decades. However, as you might imagine, conspiracies as good as this one don't die easily. And, as you may also remember, the Unabomber himself, Ted Kaczynski, was confirmed to have undergone experimentation connected to Ultra. Now, MK Ultra comes up most often when talking about lone wolf attacks, almost always, especially in the conspiracy realm. From the tragedy surrounding the premiere of The Dark Knight, to the Sandy Hook shootings, to the Las Vegas attack last year, Ultra always shows up within hours as an explanation. We're not here to talk about that. I simply am not interested in getting into all of that. However, there are all sorts of supposed quotes attributed to high-ranking people claiming that the program has not discontinued, rather it's just changed names and gone underground again. It's possible. We won't know for sure until the next time someone comes forward with a truly unbelievable story that just so happens to be the complete truth.
Yeah, because it's going to be tougher to mismanage paperwork now.
True, true. Yeah, you can't hide as easily, I would say. But, Jason.
Sam.
What do you got for me? What do you think?
Well, I think we all know what I think about black magic and telekinesis and superpowers, which is all hogwash.
Whoa!
What crazy talk. I know, right? But back to our super soldier a little bit.
Okay. You want to go back there.
Just a tad. Again, some of the allegations, I guess, claims that he's made are quite a bit out there. Mainly in the ones with his implant that gave him mental superiority.
That's the main one?
That's the big one.
That's pretty wild.
Because it got me thinking, like, how much do we actually know about the human brain? And it turns out incredibly small amounts.
Yeah.
So we know the pathways, neural pathways, but we don't know how our minds encode messages and how that really functions. So we know there's roads.
Okay.
But that's about it. We can cut the roads with like lobotomies and things like that. Mm. We can cause issues to that, but we can't send new programming through your brain, which is kind of what he's claiming this implant does for him.
Right. You can't like upload new software to the hardware.
No, especially if you don't know the coding.
That's fair.
Other than that, I mean, like an MRI doesn't just catch on fire. It's a giant magnet. Yes. That pulling on his head, I could see, but it's not going to catch the actual machine on fire.
Okay.
I'm also like, that's just throwing me way off. It's all hogwash, man.
Okay.
It's all BS.
Right. Obviously. I agree with that.
What? Don't even get me started about walking through walls.
Yeah, I'm not going to. We'll talk about that when we talk about super soldiers one day.
We don't need to talk about walking through walls. It is astronomically impossible. It's so incredibly impossible.
It's funny
because it's ridiculous.
That concept of a military person walking through a wall, it's like the very beginning. All right, spoilers, but this movie's been out forever at this point. It's the very beginning of The Men Who Stare at Goats, is that like the general, after listening to Jeff Bridges' weird hippie character, is who talks about like walking through walls and psychic warfare. He's like sitting and he stares at his wall for like 30 seconds and then he gets up and he just runs at it and he can't get through it. So that's the first part of the movie. The end of the movie is somebody else, I can't remember who it is, but one of the main characters is sitting in the same office and he looks and he's staring at the wall and he gets up and he starts to run towards it.
He hits the wall, doesn't
he? And he passes right through it. It's amazing. No. It's like the best way to end the movie. It's really, really astounding.
It was probably a mirror.
One day, ideally, we'll probably talk about, I can't remember exactly what that program specifically was, but I'd love to talk about like The Men Who Stare at Goats and psychic warfare and stuff, because it's true. Obviously, they're not walking through walls, but all of like the military funding that went into this is true. And the experts, the kooky experts, are true. And so like that'd be a really fun thing to cover, I think, at one point.
I agree. That'd be a little bit more lighthearted than what we usually do here. Why is Olsen so important?
Olsen is so important.
Is it just because of like how much attention that the trial got?
Well, yeah, because the government, first off, it's like easy to say, ah, man, we dosed all these people with LSD, but like,
they liked what? It.
It's fun. Yeah.
It was fun.
They probably had a good time. Like Olsen is dead one way or the other because of the government. And then for it to come out that like, and because he wasn't a military person, he like, yes, he was working with the military, but I don't know that he was particularly, maybe he was enlisted, but he was essentially a private citizen, especially by the time that they killed him. And it just really feeds into this conspiracy theory, this thing that conspiracy theorists called being suicided, wherein you are killed in an impossible way that is then referred to as a suicide. For instance, there have been times on coroner reports, like individuals have been shot twice in the head and the coroner will say, well, it was a suicide. And it's like, how?
Double barrel shotgun, man.
No, not like that.
Oh, darn.
So that's the main reason, is because not only does it fuel the conspiracy to this day, but in the day when it happened, it was a shocking and truly upsetting revelation.
Now, was this back when skyscrapers had that like that suicide proof glass?
I don't know. He was in a hotel room, so
I guess the window, roll it up. That makes sense. Okay, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, in the 50s.
So it could have happened.
Nowadays, you can't open hotel windows.
Blunt force trauma to head and chest is, I would assume, pretty typical when you're talking about getting smashed against the ground.
Sure. I don't know if he got pushed or shoved out,
that makes more sense than just trauma first. Thing. What?
You and I, we're not medical experts.
We're
the
not.
People who did this autopsy are medical experts.
Yeah, but that was also how long after his
Jason,
death?
We know that Tutankhamun got stabbed. Like, we have the ability.
I mean, sure, but
in any case, the government suicided
him. We're not talking about a stabbing. We're talking about a guy going splat. that?
You, after all we've covered, is it really so hard to believe that the government killed this man?
No, it's not.
That's the problem.
It's really easy to believe the government killed this man.
You're just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Well, I hate that. People don't like it when people are devil's advocates. I'm just saying,
skepticism to claim.
Skepticism.
Shut up.
You've been making fun of how I've been talking this entire episode.
It's my job.
Anyway.
I make fun of you. It makes me feel better about myself.
So fair.
Anyway.
So far.
Anyway, I'm done with this.
All right, this is cool. Yeah, let's be done with MK Ultra. Super Soldiers, terrible. MK Search, or MK... Well, MK Search is a whole different thing that we didn't even talk about.
Perfect.
MK Often, pretty whack, in my opinion.
Just
consulting
the
dark forces.
Strange.
It is just strange, really.
It's just strange
and it does.
Claims
it
everywhere.
It lays the groundwork for things that'll come after. It's really not that shocking of a revelation now, because we know that they did. Like, even if it's not with the MK Often program, we know that, like, the government totally did consult psychics and astrologers and people like that. So it's, like, kind of commonplace. At the time, it was not. At the time, it was like, what? Those are the devil's workers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that doesn't sound like Jesus.
That you're bringing into the CIA the most hallowed house of intelligence. So, anyway, I hate MKUltra. This was a terrible idea, all in all.
I agree with you.
We're like 4.5 hours in. Not to this specific recording. Well, if we take Pont Saint-Esprit, we're like 6 hours in to MKUltra and LSD. And
then we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
There we go. Bada bing, bada boom.
That's amazing. How do you do that?
What do you mean?
Anyway, guys.
I realized that we are at the end of our journey.
Wow. You're so smart.
We're
guys,
coming down.
Whoa. Thank you all for hanging in there with us. Thank you for tuning in.
Going on this trip with us?
Yeah. yeah, thank you for tripping out with us. We want to thank specifically one individual whose name is Robin. They left us an iTunes review. They say, love y'all. Thanks for making a weird podcast about weird things. All right.
Oh,
little on the nose, but okay.
How'd you know?
Then they say, definitely not the worst podcast ever, winky face. You can't.
There's millions of others, and they're all better than
they're
us.
They're all better than us. Love the Jason specials in juxtaposition to the standard episodes. I am so glad you said that, because Jason,
no.
You get to do a special. Jason is going to do a Jason special. Not
eventually.
On our next recording. Not even eventually, pretty dang soon. Not on our next recording, which again is going to be with Robert, our good friend. But he will be doing a Jason special after that. Jason, do you have any ideas on what you can do? No? He just, as he's referenced a few times today, he bought the Satanic Bible, so maybe he could do Satanism. I don't know.
It's just a review.
Just a classical review on Satanism.
I'll pull that up. I'll like write my own review and then pull up all the Amazon reviews and just read them out.
There you go.
And see what people think.
There you go. Thank you for your review. We actually just eclipsed in the iTunes store 400 five-star ratings. We're up it's pretty
crazy.
Wild. We're up to 470 ratings total with an average of 4.5 stars. If you are one of those people who think we're better than 4.5 stars, like everybody, so let's see, out of 405 ratings, or out of 470 ratings, we have 405 five stars, which means we have 65 that are less than that. So if you're not one of those people, go ahead and leave us a review. If you are one of those people, you've already left a review.
Sam,
but
are you trying to artificially enhance our numbers?
But you can change it. You can change it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You just go on and hit write a review and it'll say, oh, you already wrote one. Here's what it said. And you can change it. Now, what this doesn't mean is that if you've written a five-star review, you are not allowed to change it down. That's not
those
okay.
Those are locked in.
Those are locked in, buddy. Don't even try. I'm trying to save you time. Everybody else, you know who you are. You know what you did.
What, we're guilting them into it now?
Nah.
Who are they? The government?
The government. So we also want to thank our new patrons. We got a few this week, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. Like I said, if you're interested in becoming a patron, you can go to patreon.com/notalonepodcast and take a look there. For $5 a month, you get access not only to an early unedited episode every 2 weeks, but you also get a bonus episode every month, or you can just get the early episode for just $3 a month. So less than the price of a cup of coffee. But we want to go ahead and just thank our new patrons. We would like to thank Jesse Hickman.
Woo, Jesse.
We'd like to thank Lee Collier Spate.
All right, Lee.
We'd like to thank Karen Burles.
Woo,
Karen. We'd like to thank Clayton Keeling. Clayton. No, God, we're sinking again. And we'd like to thank Jacob Kump.
Jacob,
you didn't predict me there, did you, you demon?
No, I actively did the same thing a second time in a row.
Good. So, anyway, thank you all for being patrons. Thank you all for your reviews. Thank you all for listening and tuning in. Thank you all for thinking good things about us. Curse you. Curse you for not.
Sam, curses aren't allowed, remember?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You'll get
kicked
to a different continent for
kicked out of the Witchcraft Research Association. No, in reality, of course, we at Not Alone not only value free speech, we ultra value it. I don't know what that means. I'm tired.
Anyway,
I'm tired.
I think that's
if you think
that about
this is
it.
What I'm trying to say, people. If you think we're doing a terrible job, leave us a 1-star review. Come break your axes against me. I've cried a lot over the course of this show. I'm not going to cry anymore. So, Jason.
Sam?
Who did it last week?
I thought it was me.
Okay. You can find us on Twitter at Not Alone Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Beer Lord Elfbane. You can find Jason on Twitter at
Mighty Moit.
Mighty Moit. You can find us on Facebook at Not Alone Podcast or join our community. Remember, you are not alone. Remember, we are not alone. A community for the strange. We don't go on Instagram. We just don't. It's there, but we don't do it. So that's up to you. Remember, whether you find yourself in a laboratory with a strange man with a strange accent holding a strange vial, or you participate in a study at your local community college regarding some very strange substances, you are not alone.